Yo, what's up? It's your boy, E.T., pastor of A Place of Change Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You know, so many people have said to me, E, we love the normal service, but the podcast, we can wash dishes, wash clothes, work out to it, drive up and down the road, our commute to work. And so, guys, thank you so much. Look, you know, we have one goal here, and that is to meet your spiritual needs. And so we hope that this message helps you in your everyday walk, helps you in your transformation, and most importantly, we hope that it helps you to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
The year had to be 2003. I was at the height of my career, and I was super excited for the opportunity to step in as a redshirt freshman and be one of the starters on the field, a middle linebacker. I had dreamed about this day since I was perhaps 6 years old. At that time, I was probably bench pressing 430 pounds, 36, 37 inch vertical. I was running a 4.6, 340-yard dash. Nah, let me tell the truth. I'm in the sanctuary. I was running probably a 4.7, 40-yard dash. And I had the opportunity of a lifetime to go in and play linebacker next to Darvin Lewis, who's one of the best linebackers in the Mid-American Conference, perhaps in the nation. I remember as I was getting prepared for the game, Coach said, "You ready to go?" I said, "Coach, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm strong. I'm fast. I'm quick. Like, I'm prepared, Coach. I'm ready to go. I know the assignment." Coach said, "Are you sure?" And Coach quizzed me. He quizzed me, and I aced it. I knew all the questions. I knew the playbook. I knew the assignment. And then I got on the field, and I had the right attitude. I was ready to go destroy. You see, as a linebacker, it's seek and destroy. And so I had the attitude. I had the mindset. I had the wild dog mindset. I was ready to go out there and destroy anything in the opposite color. I knew the assignment. Like, I had read the playbook from front to back, and I got on the field and they snapped the ball, and I went there, and boom, I missed the tackle. I came back to the huddle. I said, "What happened, TJ?" I said, I'm not sure. Like I went there with rage. I had the attitude to be a phenomenal linebacker. I knew the assignment. I knew that Coach wanted me to go there and make the play. Like, I knew all that. I knew how to. It's okay. Well, next time the play happens, and you got to make the right adjustment. I said, "Cool. I'll go with the right attitudes. I know the plays. I'll make sure that I know the assignment. But this time, when I go to make the play, I'll make the adjustment." Next play goes, they snap the ball. I run up. Boom! I miss the tackle again. Coach pulls me. Coach says, come on to the sideline. I tried to the sideline. I said, "Coach, I don't know what the problem is. Like, I got the anger and the rage to go and destroy. Like, I have the right attitude to play middle linebacker in a Division I program." He said, "Okay, cool. Did you know the play call, Coach?" "I knew the assignment. Like, I read the playbook front to back. I knew what you wanted me to do." He said, "All right, cool. Were you able to make the right adjustments when the ball was snapped?" I said, "Coach, I saw him come back. He came in motion. I did this. I came over. I came up. I made the adjustment, Coach." So they brought me to the side, and it's okay. Get on the phone. And they got on the phone, because back then we didn't have the TVs on the sideline. So I got on the phone, and when I got on the phone, D coordinator said, "TJ, I know what the problem is." I said, "Coach, what's the problem?" He said, "You misaligned." I said, "What? What you mean, Coach? Like, I know the playbook. I know the assignment. I've been reading the playbook." He said, "You have. You do know the plays." I said, "But Coach, what? I made the adjustments." And you did. You made adjustments when I asked you to make adjustments. I said, "Okay, Coach, well, I got the raise. I got the attitude. I got the tenacity." He said, "You do. But if you miss a line, the attitude don't matter. If you miss a line, knowing the playbook don't matter. If you miss a line, making adjustments don't matter. You see, the most important thing you must do is be in alignment. Before you get to the playbook, you got to be aligned. Before you work on your attitude, you got to be aligned. Before you make adjustments, you got to be aligned." Coach was saying to me, "You can read the Bible front to back from Genesis to Revelation. You can know the playbook. You can know the assignment. But if you miss a line, it doesn't matter if you know the assignments." Coach was saying to me, "You can have the right attitude. You can love everybody. You can have the spirit of God, and you can love people, but you're not in the right alignment, it doesn't matter." He was saying to me, you can make the adjustments when God asks you to make adjustments, but if you're not aligned, it doesn't matter if you make the adjustment because it's not going to be the right adjustment. He was saying you must be aligned. So every single time I went to make a play, every single time I went to make a tackle, every single time I was trying to fulfill my mission as a linebacker, I failed. And I failed because I was misaligned. Hear me carefully. Mission fails when alignment fails. Mission fails when alignment fails. You have to be in alignment. You've heard Pastor talking about order. You heard Candace talking about alignment. We have to be in order. When we're out of order, when we are misaligned, your attitude don't make a difference. When you're out of order, you're misaligned, the adjustments don't make a difference. When you're out of order and you're misaligned, I don't care if you know the assignment, if you're not aligned with God. Mission fails when alignment fails. So what is alignment anyway? Like you've been hearing Pastor talk about order, Candace, alignment. I've been building on it, right? So when we talk about order and alignment, you're saying, okay, how can I get an alignment if I don't know what alignment is? Let's break it down. Let's make it simple. Number one, alignment is agreement with his word. His word is a lamp to our feet. That's Psalm 119, 105. Walking in his ways, can two walk together except they be agreed? Alignment is about agreement. Alignment is about walking with God. That's alignment. We agree with his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet. That's alignment, which means when you walk, the direction you walk in is the direction God would have you to walk in. That means you're in alignment. When you walk in his ways, can two walk together? Except that you can't walk with God unless you agree with God. I didn't say if you like what God tells you to do. I didn't say if you want to do what God wants you to do. I said you have to be in agreement with God's will. And then lastly, right, positioning under his authority. Alignment means seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Alignment is positioning yourself under. Come on, type under in the chat. It means positioning yourself under his alignment. I mean, everybody in the church, hear me carefully. You have to be under his authority. Not under your mama authority. Not under your daddy authority. Not under your sister's authority, not under your brother's authority, not under your pastor's authority, not under the first lady's authority, not under your boss's authority, not under the government's authority. You have to be under God's authority because God is the creator and the creator is in charge of the created. So whose authority are you under? Are you under your spouse's authority? Are you under God's authority? Are you under your self-desire's authority? Or are you under God's authority? What authority are you under? Because the authority that you're under determines your decisions. It determines your direction. It determines what you do on a consistent basis. Remember, we don't create our lives. We create habits and habits create our lives. So your habits have to be in alignment with being under God's authority. Your habits have to be in alignment with making sure that your feet are guided by his word. Your alignment has to be that God determines my direction, not me. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. Hear me carefully. So to be misaligned is to chase your own plan instead of God's. Being misaligned means that I'm chasing my own plan instead of God's. So you say, okay, TJ, okay, like, how do I know if I'm chasing God's plan or my plan? Easy. Are you spending time with God? Are you talking with God? Are you sitting down in quiet for 20, 30 minutes, an hour to hear his still small voice? If you're not spending time with God, listening to God and waiting on God, there's a good chance that you are not doing what God wants you to do. It's a good chance you're not listening to his plans. You're listening to social media plans, your mama plans, your daddy plans, bishop plans, but you're not listening to God's plans because you haven't given God time and opportunity to talk to you. Number two, you live outside of his order. Priorities, values, in discipline. If you're living outside of his authority, you are misaligned. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, which means the kingdom must be your priority, not your finances, not your job, not your children. Some of you are worshiping your children. Some of you are worshiping your spouse. Some of you are worshiping social media. Some of you are worshiping your tradition. Some of you are worshiping, listen to me very carefully, things. Some of you are worshiping the creative. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is saying to you, you can have your desires. You can have what you love. You can have what you want. I will give you that when you make me a priority. The problem is we're making the created a priority and not the creator a priority. God said, make me the priority and I will give you the created. So you're praying and you're fasting. You're saying, God, I need this and I want this. And how come I don't have this? And I've been praying and I've been fasting. It's simple. You can't have the pleasures without the priority. Oh, come on. You missed what I just said. Priority comes first. When you make God a priority, he will give you the pleasures of your heart. But you are making your pleasures of your heart your priority, so therefore you don't get it. Why? Because God is a jealous God. Number three, operate in self-will instead of spirit-led obedience. Misalignment is when you operate in self-will instead of spirit-led obedience. Not my will, but let your will be done. Whose will is being done in your life? You know, our mantra for 2025 has been mission over mood. And mission over mood simply means not my self-will, but spirit-led. Spirit-led obedience, which means I'm not focused on what I feel like doing. Oh, you missed it. Pastor, how do I know when I'm being self-led? You're being self-led as soon as you say, I don't feel. As soon as you say, I don't feel like it. As soon as you say, I'm not in the mood. As soon as you say, I don't. As soon as you say, I. As soon as you say, feel. Now you are being self-led and not spirit-led. Because spirit-led is not about feelings. Spirit-led is about purpose. Spirit-led is about God. So the question is, are you in your feelings or are you in your purpose? When you're in your purpose, your feelings don't matter. When you're in your purpose, your emotions don't matter. That doesn't mean you can't have feelings. You can have feelings, but feelings don't have you. That's when you can't have emotions, but emotions don't have you. When you are being spirit-led and you are obedient to your purpose, not obedient to your feelings. When you're obedient to your purpose, then you are being producing, you are producing the way God will have you to produce, not how your feelings and your emotions want you to produce. So I ask myself, if this is alignment and this is misalignment, why are we misaligned? Why are we misaligned? When you look at results and circumstances and situations, and they're not what you want them to be, and they're not what you expect them to be, you must begin to ask questions to yourself, to God, and say, why is this the way it is? The reason why most of us are misaligned is because of the stories we tell ourselves. The stories we tell ourselves on a consistent basis are the reason why many of us are misaligned. Whatever that story you begin telling yourself at a young age, and you begin to repeat that story. You've heard me say it earlier in the sermon, we don't create our life, we create habits, and our habits create our life. Well, let me tell you a secret. The habitual thoughts, the habitual stories you tell yourself will come into manifestation. As a man thinketh, so is he. So sometimes it's not about what we don't know. It's about what we do know that isn't true, that is destroying our purpose, that is just destroying our production, because you are telling yourself false narratives, you are giving yourself contamination stories that are contaminating your thoughts. And when you contaminate your thoughts, you can't produce healthy habits. And when you don't produce healthy habits, you don't produce healthy results. We are misaligned because of the stories we tell ourselves. Stories that question God and stories that question ourselves. Those are the two types of stories that begin to destroy our purpose, that begin to destroy our alignment with God. The devil can't do anything to you but try to get you misaligned. The devil's only tool is to, he wants you to begin to question God. He wants you to begin to question yourself. Think about it for a second. The last time you were stressed or depressed, the last time you were worried, what were you doing? Questioning God, questioning yourself, questioning your spouse. You were questioning something. You were doubting something. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way he tries to kill, steal, and destroy is to get you to begin to question God and to begin to question yourself. He can't take your future, but he can get you to question your future. He can't take your identity. When you know who you are and whose you are, he can't change that. But if he can get you to question who you are and whose you are, now you're out of alignment. Stories that question God and stories that question ourselves. I want to break the word down in a way perhaps you've never seen it broke down before. And I want you to get your pen and paper ready, because what I'm about to give you is going to change your life. What I'm about to give you, I need you to give to your children and your children's children, your children's children, because this is going to break down some generational curses in your family. I need you to listen carefully. I need you to come in close. I need you to listen carefully to what I'm about to teach you today, because this is going to change everything in your family. The first and most important question in the Bible. The first and most important question in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The word of God says, one day he asked the woman, question, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Stop right there. Stop right there, Pastor. This is the first recorded question in the Bible. And it's the most important question in the Bible, because the enemy is questioning what God said to the woman. The enemy didn't say God didn't say this. The enemy didn't say God did say this. The enemy is trying to get you misaligned by getting you to question what God said. You know how we as Christians use that phrase? If God said it, right? That settles it. That's what we say. But do we really believe that? If God said it, that settles it? But do we truly believe that? Because many of us, we say if God said it, that settles it. But then we question God. But then we're looking for a cosigner. Well, God told me to do this. Mom, what you think? Dad, what you think? Bishop, what you think? First lady, what you think? What you, my best friend, my wife, listen very carefully. When you begin to question God, you are already misaligned. When you begin to question yourself and who you are, whose you are misaligned. And when you misalign, the mission fails. The enemy simply asked Eve a question. He didn't even begin with lying to her. You miss it. You think it's when people lie to you or when people attack you. When people begin to question what God told you, when people begin to question who God says you are. Some of you, as a young kid, somebody said you wasn't smart enough, and you begin to say, maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. You didn't get that job, and maybe I'm not valuable. Or your spouse left you, or your girlfriend, boyfriend left you. So maybe I'm not good enough. As soon as that thought enters your head, as soon as you begin to tell yourself that self-sabotaging story, The enemy's like, I got you. The enemy's like, I got her. I got him. He's questioning God. So if he's questioning God, soon he'll be questioning himself. And if I can get him to question himself, I can get him out of alignment. If I can get him out of alignment, I could at the very least delay his mission and perhaps destroy his mission because he's questioning things now. The Bible says double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The devil wants you to be double-minded. He wants you to hesitate. He wants you to contemplate, like, maybe I'm not sure. I'm going to be halfway in, halfway out. I'm going to be lukewarm. God said you either you hot or you cold. But if you lukewarm, I spit you out. The devil wants you to be lukewarm. He wants you to question God. He wants you to question yourself. He wants you to question your purpose. He wants you to doubt. It's a little bit of doubt. And I can ruin his prayer life. It's a little bit of doubt, and I can ruin her prayer life. What are you saying? How can doubt ruin my prayer life? The word of God says, if you pray and you do not believe, do not expect to receive what you pray for. So the enemy is saying, I know that God answers prayer. Enemy knows that. Yes, God answers prayers. But if I can get her to doubt when she prays, then I know her prayer won't be answered because I know the word. The enemy knows the word. He know the word. So he's going to get you to question the word because now you're out of it. The enemy's first tactic was a thought question, which led to mental misalignment. The enemy's first question was a thought question. Why does the Bible harp on as a man thinketh, so is he? Why does the Bible harp on renew your mind daily? Because the enemy is attacking your mind. It's not a physical fight. He's attacking this. The enemy didn't come into the Garden of Eden, grab Eve, throw her down, grab apple, and shove it into her mouth. No. He asked a thought question. He wanted to change the way she was thinking. He wanted to insert a question and get her to question God, to get her to question her purpose. So once he used the tactic of a thought question, it led to mental misalignment. Before you're physically misaligned, he gets you mentally misaligned. So you focus on trying to get physically in the right place. You can't get physically in the right place, so you get mentally in the right place. Mental misalignment is destroying your mission. So you can't be mission over mood if you're mentally misaligned. The enemy's first question was meant to do what? Number one, his first question was meant to plant a seed of doubt about God's word. Simple. His first question was meant to plant doubt about God's word. That's it. I want to plant this seed of doubt. Number two, the enemy's first question was meant to twist the truth to create confusion. Why are our babies so confused with who they are and whose they are? Why are our babies so confused? Because he's trying to twist the truth to create confusion. Number three, he's trying to challenge alignment with God's command. He's trying to challenge, right? Challenge. He's trying to challenge alignment with what? God's command. That's it. It's a challenge. I really want you to underline it and circle and highlight the word challenge. When the enemy is challenging you, It's not a fair fight. No, he knows he can't win. Enemy knows he can't destroy. He know the word. He grabbing your heel, but we crushing his head. So he said, I know I can't win this fight if I play fair. So I just need to do what? I need to get them mentally misaligned. I need to insert a thought question. I need to get them to tell themselves a different story than what God said. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's the story that God told you. But the enemy says, I know that story too, but if I can just plant this seed of doubt, if I can just get, if I can just challenge what God said, I can just get them to believe this story and not this story, I can get them mentally misaligned. And then once they mentally misalign, now they're physically out of place, and now I got them. It's not the enemy, it's the inner me. It's my inner thoughts. It's the conversations I have between this ear and this ear that are sabotaging me and destroying me. We give the enemy too much credit. The enemy didn't make you do it. The enemy asked you a question and you listened. You had a conversation with the enemy and the enemy led you astray because you began to question what God said. So the first recorded question was not from God to man. It was from the enemy trying to misalign humanity from God's order. It's simple, ladies and gentlemen. You're out of order. You're out of order because you're misaligned. You're misaligned because you're mentally misaligned because you allowed somebody to question what God said. You allowed somebody to question God's word. The word says, take captive every thought. Take captive every word. Take it captive, which means you take it and you grab it and you make it submit to the word of God. Does this align with the word of God? Does this align with what God told me? Does this align? If it does not align, it's not mine. If it doesn't align, it's not mine. If it doesn't align, I must get rid of it. The enemy used pleasure and pain to promote misalignment. Ladies and gentlemen, every decision we make is based upon two things. Either trying to avoid pain or trying to pursue pleasure. From the time you were born to the time you die, almost every decision we make is based upon those two things. Either we're chasing pleasure or we're running from pain. That's how we make decisions. So the enemy knew that if I can just insert this question, this thought question, if I can just change the story a little bit, if I can get into her mind in some way, get her to have pain or in some way to get them to chase pleasure, then I can control them. If I can control pain and I can control pleasure, I can control decisions. Pain and pleasure are what get you out of alignment. It's in the word of God. Let's break it down. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Pleasure. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Type it in the chat. Come on, say it in the sanctuary. Pleasure. It's right there. It's been hidden, right? It's been hidden right in front of our face the whole entire time. I've read Genesis, I don't know how many times, and I missed it. You've read it so many times, and all of you have missed it. Come on, write it down in your notebook. Type it in your phone. Type it in the chat. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Pleasure. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Pain. Pain. It's okay, you missed it. Let's go back. And, right, first we have pleasure. Then it says, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So what was the pain, Pastor? The pain was she feared that she did not have enough wisdom already. The pain of missing out. The pain of not having enough. The pain of somebody having more than you. So she was running from the pain of lack. But God said in his word, see me very carefully, God said in his word that he will give you everything you need. God said in his word that if I take care of the lilies, God said I will take care of you. So now you are running from the pain of lack and you're running right into the devil's arms. You are running from the pain of not having what she has and you're running right into the devil's arms. You're running from the pain of not having that fancy car. You're running from the pain of your kids not having what their kids have and you're running right into the devil's arms. Pleasure and pain. God never said that the tree wasn't beautiful. He didn't say it wasn't delicious. He just said, don't eat from it. I would like to believe that every tree in the garden was beautiful. I would like to believe that every tree in the garden what had delicious fruit. I would like to believe all of it did. God don't make nothing bad. But the enemy inserted a question. And got her to focus on pleasure and pain. Running towards pleasure, running from pain. Eve, I'm confused. It was first Adam and God, then Adam, you and God, and you think that God didn't already give you all the wisdom you needed? You think that God didn't give you a plenty of delicious fruit to eat from? You had to walk through the whole entire garden to get to the middle of the garden. Like how many trees did Eve and Adam pass to get to the middle of the garden? So you telling me as y'all was walking through the garden, that there was no trees that had delicious fruit. There was no trees that looked beautiful except the one in the middle. That what you telling me? You telling me that you walking with God in the cool of the day, every day from sunrise to sunset, and you didn't have enough wisdom? Misalignment starts in a thought life. I want to make it clear for you tonight. Misalignment starts in the thought life. It's that simple, all right? It starts in the dark. And I misspoke and I said tonight, even though I know it's afternoon, but I think the reason why I misspoke is because as I was speaking, I kept seeing darkness. And the reason why I think God keeps bringing me the image of darkness is because you've heard me say you gotta have a private victory before you have a public victory, which means what are the thoughts that you are thinking and contemplating in the dark. When it's just you and God, when you're by yourself, are you allowing the enemy to insert questions or are you allowing God to give you commands? Misalignment starts in the thought life. You can't be aligned with God outwardly if you're misaligned inwardly. You can't. It's impossible. You have to be aligned with God inwardly. Your mindset has to be aligned with God if you're going to be aligned with God outwardly. Which means we have to filter our thoughts through a process of alignment. Yes, I want you to leave today without action steps. So I'm going to give you, listen, the Bible never just gives theory. The Bible gives theory, but then it also gives action steps so you can have results. And so let me give you, you say, okay, Pastor, I got it. A question. When I allow the enemy to question what God told me, when I allow the enemy to get me to question who I am, then I become misaligned. I get it. It's mental alignment. I get it now. But how do I become mentally aligned? I'm glad you asked. We have to filter our thoughts through an alignment process. Listen to the scripture. Philippians 4, chapter 8. 9, fix your thought on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the secret recipe to filter our thoughts for alignment, which means when I have a thought, I have to filter it through this process. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? If you begin to memorize these and you begin to filter your thoughts through these, then you can ensure that your thoughts are in alignment. The enemy simply asked Eve, did God really say? So the first filter she should have used is truth. 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 I'm not even going to debate with you, Lucifer. Get ye behind me. This is the truth. This is the truth, right? Honorable, right? Is it right? Is this right? Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this admirable? Is this excellent? Is it worthy of praise? At the end of the day, when you filter your thoughts properly, you have no shame. When you filter your thoughts properly, you have no shame. The enemy knows he can't make you do anything. So he knows he has to trick you. And he knows in order to trick you, he just needs to begin to get you to question God and to question yourself. When he was cast out of heaven, the angels he convinced to go with them, he got them to question God. Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor. No, do yourself a favor. Focus on being mentally aligned with what God has called you to do. You see, there's two types of stories we tell ourselves. Contamination stories and redemption stories. What story do you consistently tell yourself? Is it a contamination story or is it a redemption story? You know my story. I'm a twin. And because I struggled in school, because I had tutors, because I failed classes from time to time, and because my friends would jokingly say that I was a dumb twin, my brother was a smart twin, I began to tell myself the story that I'm the dumb twin. And as I began to tell myself that contamination story was contaminating the seed of truth that God put inside me, as I told myself that over and over and over again, as I heard it in the conscious realm, I began to receive it in the subconscious. And once it gets in the subconscious, it becomes automatic. And now I don't just think it's a story. I believe it's my truth. You see, I said earlier that it's not what we don't know that hurts us. It's what we do know that isn't true that hurts us. So for the majority of my life, I wasn't able to live in my purpose because I was misaligned. And I was misaligned because of the stories that I heard and because people got me to question my intelligence. People got me to question who I am and whose I am. People got me to question my value. How many of you sitting in this room right now have questioned your value because somebody betrayed you? You questioned your value because somebody lied to you. You questioned your value because somebody didn't give you a job. You questioned your value because somebody corrected you. As soon as you begin to question your value, as soon as you begin to question who you are and whose you are, as soon as you begin to question what God already told you. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I set you apart. But you think because you're different, you're less than. You think because you're different, you're not good enough. But God said you are different. Yes, I made you different to set you apart. So when somebody tells you that you're not good enough because you're different, you actually are more than good enough because you're different. Because God said, before I formed you, I set you apart. So God is saying, I set you apart on purpose. But you're allowing people, you're allowing friends, you're allowing enemies to get you to begin to question you being set apart. Your set apartness, I know it's not a word, your set apartness is on purpose. But you can't complete your purpose when you allow people to get you to question your purpose. I questioned my intelligence. And so because I questioned my intelligence, I didn't fully apply myself. And because I didn't fully apply myself, I could never fully fulfill my potential. Ladies and gentlemen, don't die with potential. When Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." And many of you right now are living full of potential and are not living fully fulfilled. To live fully fulfilled is to maximize your potential every single day. So that the day that daddy calls you home, you can say, "It is finished." To be in alignment is to be mentally on one accord with daddy. Because the enemy knows, if I can get you to question what daddy told you, if I can get you to question Eve, what he said, then I can get you to be misaligned. And we can debate Adam all day long. We can debate whether Adam was with her or not with her. But at the end of the day, it says Eve took the apple and gave to Adam, and Adam ate. My question is, I wonder if Adam ate because he wanted to please his wife. I wonder if Adam ate the apple because he was running from the pain of his wife not being happy with him. You see, we make decisions based upon pain and pleasure. Did Adam eat the apple because he wanted to please his wife? Did Adam eat the apple because he was afraid his wife would be upset? Listen to me very, very carefully. I've been married 22 years, and I'm telling you right now, I've done a lot of things and made a lot of decisions because I was afraid. I was in pain. I was afraid of disappointing Velissa. I've done a lot of things because I wanted to please my wife. But hear me carefully. God said, "Am I your God or is your wife your God?" But many of you right now are misaligned because the enemy has gotten you to question God and yourself. And you're living in shame. And the shame you're living in is causing you to be unsuccessful. We'll break that down next time. Father God of heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. If there's anybody in the sanctuary right now that's living in shame, whether you're not where you believe you should be, whether you're not what you think you should be, whether you don't have what you think you should have, whether it was some childhood trauma, you were abused, mentally, physically, emotionally, sexually. You were abandoned by your mother, your father, somebody. Somebody passed away and you still haven't dealt with the pain of that. If you're in the room today, and you question God, and you've allowed the enemy to get you to question yourself, stand to your feet. If you're online right now, and that's you, just type yes in the chat. Father, you see your people who the enemy is trying to get us to live in shame because he knows when we live in shame, we can't be successful the way you called to be successful. So, Father, I declare by the sound of my voice that every chain is broken, every yoke is destroyed, every generational curse is cast down, Father. I pray right now, Father, that you will release all of us from the shame of failure, Father. For the shame of thinking we're not good enough. For the shame of thinking that you didn't already set us apart, Father. Father, I pray that you release us, Father, from the bondage. Because you said who the Son sets free is free indeed, Father. We just want to be free. Just because somebody left us doesn't mean we're not worthy. Just because we don't have a husband or a wife doesn't mean we're not. Just because we don't have children doesn't mean we're not good enough. Just because our son did this or our daughter did this, it's because they were disobedient or because they got in trouble. Doesn't mean that I'm any less of a parent than that parent over there. It doesn't mean that I'm less than, Father. And I rebuke shame, Father. And I step into, I walk into your calling, your purpose for me. In Jesus' name, let every believer say amen, amen, amen. Go with God as he goes with you. And remember, mental alignment is the most important alignment. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Everything starts here. What story are you telling yourself? You are the narrator of your life. If you don't like the way your story is going, then write a redemption story, not a contamination story. Be blessed.
We really appreciate you spending your day with us, and we look forward to seeing you again on Wednesday evenings at 6 for Wednesday Night Word with Pastor TJ Tyus. For all of our announcements, upcoming events, and special programming, please visit our social media pages on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Your tangible support of this ministry makes all the difference in the world, and we can't thank you enough for your commitment. If you'd like to support this ministry, please use our Cash App at $APOCGlobal. If you prefer a more traditional approach, visit our website at www.apocministry.org. On behalf of Pastors Thomas and Tyus, their wives and families, and the whole of your A Place of Change ministry family, until we meet again, be blessed.